is a strong, mighty tower. Reaching high, filled with love and power. Solid it stands eternally. God's salvation for you and me.
Thank you, Lord. Sing along with me.
Jesus, oh, what a name.
Everybody stand up. If you know it by memory, let's hear Acts 2:38.
Then Peter said unto them,
repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See if you know Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. See if you know Acts 2:40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Amen. That's a good scripture, isn't it?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Now let's quote Jude, the second chapter. Oh, that's the one about clothes and hair, right? Jude, the second chapter. It says, all people should wear clothes and have hair. All right. All right. I'd like to make a point of going to Acts 2:38 often, since a devil inspired a yielded vessel recently to tell me that I preach about Acts 2:38 too much. So I think that we just need to do a little more. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. You may be seated. You can be in most any crowd in this world, and when they discover that you're a preacher, the atmosphere changes. Because there's something about a preacher showing up that it just causes something strange to happen in the crowd. You can tell by the looks in the eyes and the whispers if you overhear some of them. Some think it's silly to be a preacher, and that you're probably there to preach at them about something. I feel sorry for the preachers. You know, they can't have fun like the rest of us. I was riding on the elevator once, on my way to pray for a man just before he died with the family. They didn't know I was a preacher. And I was on the elevator with them, and I heard them talking. And they were saying, I feel sorry for all these Christian people. They just don't know how to live. And yet, they had just called wanting a preacher to come up and pray for their daddy who was about to die. And I was the preacher they'd called. They just never had met me before, and they didn't know I was the preacher. I wasn't in my preacher work clothes. I was dressed like them. And you'd be amazed what all they said about preachers and church people. You would think that church people and preachers are the most disadvantaged people on the face of the earth, while they were on their way to have a preacher to pray for their dying daddy. And we gathered around the bed as he was about to take his last breath. And when it dawned on them that I was the preacher, a look of horror came over their faces. Because I had just heard all those words just before I asked them to join hands and let us pray together. Foolishness
of God is wiser than the wisest thing that man can do. The worst Holy Ghost Jesus name church service offers more than the best party man can have. But this scripture here tells us a lot about God. He's a very wise God. But have you noticed that he uses very small things to bring down very large things? Notice little David and the big giant. The mighty army of the enemy and the few that had a challenge on their hands. And yet, the big army was defeated through the obedience of a few. Amen. I just love the wisdom of God. King of kings, Lord of lords, arrives on the scene. What is he? A little tiny baby. The one who should be most welcome in anything, for he is the creator of all things. Rejected. There's no room for him. You would think that he would choose the most qualified people to do his exploits. So where does he go to get his help? To the seashore and find some uneducated fishermen. When Jesus went searching for help, it wasn't that he needed help. It's that he wanted to bless a lot of people, including those he would call to help him. It doesn't matter how inadequate you are. In fact, the more you don't have, the more likely it is that you can give God a lot of glory if you obey him and follow him. The least talented ones sometimes are the ones that seemingly get the great blessings. The country that's so poor and everything seems to be going against it in the world can have a move of God, and for months and months you keep hearing about the great revival happening over there. I have a video of about 1 million people assembled together receiving the Holy Ghost at one time in Ethiopia. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. In the midst of hunger, in the midst of terrible things going on in a nation, 1 million people assemble together and just get really happy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. He does things with the devil that we don't realize he's doing sometimes. You see, the devil is subject to the power of God. He's not an equal opposite to God. We don't have God versus the devil, and we're going through life trying to figure out which one we should serve because they're not equal in power. God created Lucifer. Lucifer went bad. It wasn't because God caused him to go bad, but what God placed in this most beautiful and finest creature that he'd ever made was something that he later placed in us, and that's the ability to make a choice. According to the Word of God, a third of the angels followed that creature, and he became what we know as the devil, and they became little devils. You know, when you cast the devils out, you're casting out those followers of Big D. He wanted to be God. He's still trying to be worshipped. He wants people to acknowledge him in all their ways. If you live an ordinary life, you probably will. The people who don't live for God seem to acknowledge evil in all their ways. And that's the devil and his crowd trying to be like God. God wants us to acknowledge God in all of our ways. But there's a difference in the response, in the way that we do things. And there's some good to look forward to at the end of acknowledging God in all of our ways. But sometimes it's difficult to acknowledge God in all of our ways since we have such a good devil. He's really good at his job, because he shows up everywhere you show up. He's usually here before you get to church. When I'm saying he, I'm not talking about the devil himself. I don't think the devil even knows we exist yet. I could be wrong. But his little imps trying to be the devil is the ones that show up. And they come around here. But there are other angels that show up too. And they didn't leave with that Lucifer when he went bad. They didn't go with him. They stayed with God. Amen. And you may not believe in angels, but I don't even know what you're doing here trying to worship God if you don't, because that's very much a part of the kingdom of God. We don't worship angels, but we have angels who work for God. And they have been working for Him a long time. These angels that watch over us are watching over us with God giving them direction. And they are yes angels. They are yes angels. They are angels that have not made a bad decision and gone a wrong way. God got rid of all that crowd when He cast the devil down. He cast everything down that was not a yes. Hallelujah. Then He put man on the earth. And there are a lot of questions and a lot of minds. Why in the world would a wonderful God allow sin to enter into the world and cause the possibility that a human being could fail and create such a wonderful being, Adam, and miraculously give him a wonderful helper, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, named Eve, and then allow them to choose to listen to the devil? God gets glory out of taking that which is impossible and making something good happen in the midst of it. God gets glory in taking that which is evil and having a people for His namesake overcoming evil. He could have overcome evil simply with the snap of His mighty fingers or His spoken word. He could have caused Adam to never sin. He could have made sure that every time the devil shows up in your life, that He's there to warn you and say, "That's the devil, that's not me." But He allows us to be free to make our own choices and do things as He has created in us the ability to do. Amen. If you're going to serve God, it'll be because from your heart, you have overcome some things and you've gone through some things and concluded, "I'm going to serve God." Amen. And when you have done that, God gets joy out of it. Because He didn't make you do it. He didn't force you to do it. Amen. But He saw you coming through the darkness into His light. He saw you fighting the evil off your hands and doing it in the name of Jesus. He saw you making forward progress. And He was just with you. Do you believe that He wants to be your friend? Not just so He can just be your friend. I honestly believe the reason He wants to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother is so He can witness all the stuff you go through. Hallelujah. Because everybody I know that has a good testimony, the greater the testimony, you look back and see what they've gone through, it's been tough out there. They've had a rough time out there. Came through some floods, some fire, some opposition, some impossible circumstances, at the point of death, had a terrible accident, people turned against them, just crazy things happen. So what's happening now? They're giving God glory. In the midst of it all, God was there with me. He was there all the time. You know, I tell you what, I went through some stuff that really, really seemed like there was no way to get out of it, but God was there with me. I've heard it over and over all my life. I've heard it ever since I was a child. I don't know what I would have done if it hadn't been for the Lord. I just don't know how I would have made it if it hadn't been for the Lord. You ever heard those kind of testimonies? Praise God. Some things happened in my life that drove me to my knees. I've heard that testimony. It just drove me, it shook my very foundation. And I called on God and He was right there. That's what makes life interesting. What seems to be the strong, the tough things of life are actually the easy things to deal with. And what seems to be the weak things of life are actually the strong tools we have to work with. Hallelujah. I mean, it takes a lot of effort to try to play God. It just takes a whisper of the name of Jesus to get all the devils to get out of your way. It takes armies of devils to even make you notice them if you're on fire for God. And then all you got to do is just nod in Jesus' name and they're out the door. The doctors finally concluded in the last couple of days after several months of research that prayer actually can help a person's mind. This is research, scientific medical research. Some of them have actually started doing it. To make sure that everybody can be included and everybody has equal time, they also, in the same statement, have said that, and for those that don't believe in God, just if you have a make-believe character you can talk to. Come here, man, John. You watch my back, okay, bud? Okay. That don't seem quite right. That's like a bunch of smart people paying a lot of money, probably some government money, some of our tax money, to make all this research to conclude that prayer does work and prayer does help, but we need to make sure everybody can be included in it. So let's also make sure that everybody realizes that what makes it work is the fact that you're able to unload on somebody, so you're able to tell somebody your trouble. So if you don't believe in God, just make up somebody and talk to that one. But anyway, I was listening to this Catholic priest as he said, one problem with that is the prayer is actually to a real God. And assuming that God is real, he said, and I appreciate him saying this, that conclusion that says if you can't believe in God, just talk to something that doesn't exist, it won't work in this case. Because when you pray to God and it works, you're praying to a real God. Hey, I wanted to hug that Catholic priest's neck when he said that. That was, hey, we have a lot in common with a lot of people. When people speak the truth, I say amen. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to hug his neck when he said that the problem with your conclusion is the God we talk to when we pray is a real God. And the make-believe character is not real. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Amen. Where would we be if it hadn't been the Lord who was on our side? When things rose up against us, when problems came, when we didn't know what to do, which way to turn. If it hadn't been for the fact that the Lord was on our side. That's Scripture. Sister Judy had a conversation with somebody she was mentioning in her testimony who evidently thinks, I assume it's a lady, I don't know, but that person thinks they're saved. That's a typical example of most people today. They think they're saved when they borrow a little verse of Scripture that has been suggested by somebody that it's your right to use this because other people use it. And it's on tracts, it's on literature, and it's taken from a letter written to the church of born-again, saved believers who have been baptized in the name of Jesus and have repented of their sins and have the Holy Ghost. So they go out on the street and they preach over their pulpits. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And as Sister Judy said, that is not the plan of salvation. Praise God. Those words are in a letter written to the church who followed the plan of salvation. So that we, when we need to get ourselves restored, we do something that seems very foolish. Almost too simple to be real. But here's the truth of the matter. Most Christian people, quote Christian people today, don't really believe in their heart that God is real. Because if they did, they would try much harder. They would at least try as hard as they did in school to learn how to do the reading and the writing and the arithmetic. They don't even try that hard to get the Word of God. It's just, they believe it this way over here, so I'll go that way. Or Mom and Dad believe it this way, so I'll go that way. Grandpa and Grandma believe it this way, so I'll be what they were. My priest believes it this way, so I'll take his word for it. If you did that with your education, all of you would be dumb bozos. That's not the way you learn.
Amen.
And so they approach God and say, okay, I want to be saved, so what do I do? And so they get this opinion, that opinion, that opinion, whichever opinion sounds the easiest. That's what they do. Believe in your heart. I believe in my heart. Confess with your mouth. I confess with my mouth. Jesus died. Jesus died. Rose again. Rose again. You're saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Whoop, glory. No repentance. And then they teach them about a three-person God. And God is a spirit, according to the Word of God. So right there, there needs to be some study into why does the Bible say it one way and religion says it another way. But so many thousands of people and millions of people are following the other way that seems to be the most popular way and disregards what the Bible teaches. It seems rather foolish to think that God is a spirit in the eyes of the world. God has to be a man. Everybody needs a God who is a person to look up to. That's why you have so many people who will follow a charismatic person, you know, a person with a lot of charisma, a lot of, you know, the king, Elvis, God, right? A lot of people think, I've watched people kiss the floor where he once stood. I stood in Memphis, Tennessee and watched long lines of people paying money just to walk where he once walked. I sold a box of original Elvis records for a quarter at a yard sale. I'm sure they're sitting on somebody's shelf today worth a lot more than 25 cents. That was a long time ago. I didn't know he was going to be so valuable someday. And back then, you know, my parents didn't really approve of us listening to that kind of music. So Sister Gibbs, the one that was praying with me when I got the Holy Ghost, they sold their store. They had a jukebox and had a bunch of those 45 RPM records, and she had all these brand new Elvis records in a box, never had been opened. And she just gave them all to me. And I didn't think they were worth anything, so 33 and thirds were about to, you know, main thing everybody wanted. Who wants a 45? So I just put them out in the yard sale, and somebody offered me a quarter. I said, yeah, I'll take them. I want to get them out of the way. But I paid less than that for salvation. And got the benefit of having the King of Kings with me all the time.
Hallelujah.
Now, you think it's foolish that I sold Elvis records for a quarter? It really seems foolish that a King of Kings would allow me to be a part of the kingdom and have authority with him to rule and reign in his kingdom anywhere I am in the world and to represent his cause in any place at all times and be counted as an ambassador for the King of creation. And I didn't have to even pay to get in this club. Hallelujah. It's free. I wanted something good in my life. If you ever wanted something really good in your life, you can get all kinds of offers. I mean, money really looks good sometimes, especially when you don't have it. But you can't buy your way into salvation. Here comes Jesus riding on a donkey. I almost got kicked in the seat of the pants by an old man in our church once for saying donkey, but I still prefer to say donkey. He said, you didn't quote the scripture right. It don't say donkey. But his attitude, it didn't matter what it said for him. Here comes Jesus riding on an animal. A borrowed animal. And people doing the most foolish thing. Riding on a borrowed animal, a broke man with no money. And people running ahead of him saying, Hosanna, blessed be the King. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Blessed be his name. As he came riding with no money and a little group of unemployed Jews following along in the shadows, there was no room in the inn, and it looked mighty suspicious to have a man on the scene who was not his daddy and a mother who was single, claiming she'd never had the ordinary dealings with a man that would produce a child. Uh-huh, the world said. The reason the inns did not have room for Jesus was not because they were so full. Because I guarantee you, if a king, a noted king, had come riding on a chariot with servants, there would have been room in the inn. A preacher friend of mine went to preach in some conference, and he went to this motel to get a room. And they said, "I'm sorry, all the rooms are taken." He said, "If the president were coming, would you have a room for him?" And they said, "Sure, if the president came." He said, "I want that room." And he got a room. There's more to the story than just no room in the inn. There wasn't any room for a person with a bad story going on around him, you know, looking suspicious. Little baby with a woman with a boyfriend, a single woman had a baby. You know, really, if you get all the details in their minds, we get all this ironed out and we really find out what really happened, we'll be stoning that woman to death, probably, you know. Because there's something going on here. He grows up. Starts out his life as a baby. Just when he's born, there are people looking for him, wanting to kill him. It's baby killing time. Because there's something being reported that this child is going to become. We've got to stop it from happening. You can't stop Jesus. Amen. You can't stop Jesus. Amen. But Jesus allowed all this stuff to happen. He came into this life with a threat on his life. Amen. He grew up with confusion around him. He went about doing good. But when he would do things, some people would doubt. Others would believe, and some people would argue and debate and fight. Some rejected him, others accepted him. It's still that way today. But when he does something good, and you know he's done something good for you, if you've ever had an experience with God, you just want to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." If you don't understand how the cancer's gone, you thank him anyhow. If you don't understand why it is that you don't have that problem you once had, you just give him praise. You don't have to understand it. You just know he's able. When you had enough experience with Jesus, you finally learned that you don't have to know anything. Just let him know everything. Trust him because he knows what to do. Seems foolish to the world, but they don't know him. Once you know him, you can trust him. Hallelujah, because he answers prayer. He sees you through. He takes you through the dark spots and he brings you into places that, and gets you out of places that you couldn't get out of if it were not for him. Amen. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do, Jesus? Where are we going to sleep? Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? He just answers, "Well, follow me." But where are we going to sleep? Where are we going to stay? They just left all. They left their occupations. They left their source of money supplies. They left what they were doing. They left their way of life to follow him. Where are we going to stay? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to sleep? He finally turns and says, "We don't have a place to sleep. The birds do and the animals do, but you don't." Yet, there would not be a bed in existence in this world if he had not created this world and made it possible that man could come up with a way to make a bed for himself. Hallelujah. He had the power right then when he talked to them about the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He had the power right then to command every pillow on the face of the earth to show up around him. Hallelujah. They just didn't understand that all the ability of God was right there, to be able to call on God and get anything done. Now, when he was walking before them in the flesh, you know, there's a big argument out there. A lot of people don't understand this. But the God who is not a man and never was a man and will never be a man is always spirit, was spirit, is spirit. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. And that flesh hung on a cross. But the Word of God never died. Hallelujah. That which spoke forth everything. Amen. And said, let there be. The Word of God became flesh. And that's who was leading these disciples around. God was still what he was. And when Jesus hung on the cross, God was still what he is. Hallelujah. It was the Word of God being manifested to the human race. And the Word of God, as we read in the book of John, was in the beginning with God and was God. And John said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now the crowd of people who try to get saved without going through God's plan, and the folks who try to believe in a God with hand-me-down traditional teachings that man has tried to figure out how to make God more understandable, that crowd will try to interpret this scripture for you. Certain parts of it means, according to them, that God was in the world, and for this to make sense, it also means that in the very beginning, this Jesus leading those disciples around was a man standing face to face with the first person of the Trinity in the beginning. And they had a little meeting with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and decided one of them needed to go down and become a baby and grow up and be crucified and die and then be raised again by the Father and restored to life. And all this had, you know, that crowd of wise people out there, I'm talking about the wisdom of this world, has produced thousands of books, commentaries, libraries filled with shelves full of books telling you how it happened. It's a whole lot easier to believe the foolish way, God's foolish way. What looks foolish to the world? God is not a man. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was in the Spirit, and the Spirit was in Jesus. Sometimes Jesus, the man, spoke, and sometimes Jesus, the Spirit, spoke. Hallelujah. Jesus came in his Father's name. The Spirit that made all things revealed his name at the birth of Jesus. When the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And nobody can do that but God, the God Almighty who made all things. He's the only one that can save anybody from sin. Why are you going to call his name Jesus? Because he'll save his people from sin. How can he do that? Because the very Spirit that made you and made him and made the world is in him. Hallelujah. So sometimes he spoke as a man. And he said such thing as roll the stone away. And then God spoke and said, come forth. And what they saw was the same man saying both things. He spoke as a man, said, destroy this temple. And in the same sentence, God spoke and said, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. All came out of the same mouth, same syllables, you know, just destroy this temple. And in 3 days I'll raise it up. It wasn't Jesus the flesh that raised it up. The Spirit had departed from him at the cross. He is not the second infallible co-equal, co-existence, co-everything with the Almighty Spirit that made all things at that point. When that Spirit departed from him, he was a scapegoat for for all sinners of the human race. He took on the iniquities of us all. God did not die on the cross. God never has died, never will die. You can serve a dead God if you want to. My God is alive. He was, He is, and is forevermore. He never will, never has. He can't die. But He has the wisdom to provide what seems to be a foolish thing. A crucified man who has the power to walk on water when he's yielded to that which brought him forth to be our Savior. Has the power to do incredible things. Feed the multitude. Who was it that fed the multitude? It was God. But God used a man to feed the multitude. He was the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. He was the only mediator between God and man. Please try to understand. If you ever get this in your head just right, you'll have a better understanding of what you're a part of. You don't have to understand this to be saved, but it's a lot of fun when you do understand it. You start realizing who you are, who you belong to, and that He was a man with like passions. He hurt like you hurt. He felt pain like you feel pain. He knew what it was to face death. He had a beating heart. He had blood in His veins. But it was blood that was from the creative power of God. Uncontaminated. He had no earthly father. He was the Son of God. He was not the son of the first person. He was the Son of God. He was a created. The same power that scooped up the dust when there was no woman to bring forth anything and breathe into the nostrils of that which He scooped up. He gave it nostrils. Gave it lungs. Gave it ribs. Gave it a face. Gave it legs. Gave it arms and breathed on it. Amen. And man became a living soul. That same God scooped up a little child in the womb of Mary and said, "Let there be light." Thank you, Jesus. And He took from the rib of that child while He hung on the tree a church to be His bride. And we're part of that. And I'm telling you, this Eve is not going to eat of the forbidden fruit. Every time you see somebody walking down the aisle of the church to give their hearts to God with tears in their eyes, hands uplifted, you can sing, "Here comes the bride." God is going to dress her with fine linen. Not just going to, but it's happening now. I'm telling you, the bride of Christ is dressed spotless and pure right now. We stand before Him spotless, spotless, as a groom waits for his bride to come forward. Hallelujah. Every time we smile, He smiles. Every time we're happy, He's happy. It seems like foolish talk. It seems like make-believe. But this is one groom and his bride that's going to have a real long honeymoon. And I plan to be part of that. It has nothing to do with male and female. This is a spiritual application. This is God and His church. When Jesus hung on the cross, He paid the price for God to have a wife. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The first Adam goofed up. God's not going to be outdone, so He created a second Adam. Amen. The first bride goofed up. God's not going to be outdone, so He created a bride for Himself, for His namesake. And He prompted prophets and people all through the ages to write about that beautiful bride that's to come. And then He went into the book of Revelation and revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos the beauty of His bride. He went to Solomon and had him write the beautiful Song of Solomon and described His bride in such beautiful ways. And thoughts and conversations, a spiritual application between God and His bride. Hallelujah. You can read those beautiful love songs in the Word of God concerning God and His church. Amen. He let that happen to Adam and Eve so we can enjoy seeing the greater that comes later. It won't happen with the second Adam and the church. We're going to make it. Same devil. But we know what he's up to. Same trick. He comes to us. Yeah, he's still a snake. Some people, as soon as they open their mouth, you can see a forked tongue. He still comes around and he says, you don't have to do it that way. But the Bible said, no. God said he knows if you do that, you're not going to be accepted by a lot of people. And he knows if you do it this other way, you'll be accepted. You don't want to be what's known as those off-brand Christians that baptize in Jesus' name. God tell you to do that? Why, nobody does it that way. You don't have to do it that way. Yeah, but according to the Word of God, any other way is forbidden fruit. Don't worry about that. You mean your preacher says that that man hanging on the cross and died, that was not God that died? Well, the Word says, don't worry about what the Word says. I don't know what your preacher said. Let me tell you a better way. Go out and buy yourself a crucifix. Get yourself a Jesus hanging on the cross. Look at it every day. Make yourself a little wooden idol that you can kind of talk to. Everybody needs something to look at when you talk to God. Kind of rub on it once in a while. And get yourself, something you can put in your pocket and feel, know it's still there. Has God said that He's a spirit? Make your own God. What do you love in life? Let that be your God. Elvis is the king. Yeah, buy his records. Anything but the truth. And God just lets him run loose. He's bound, but yet he's loose. It's kind of like having a big yard for your dog to run in, and he thinks he's as free as he can be. He just runs and plays, but there's a fence. Devil's got a fence around him. On the other side of that fence, the people of God are worshiping God. Hallelujah. He can't get out of that fence unless God turns him loose. And I think about the last time he did that was when Job had his problems. I don't know what you're getting out of this, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what the devil don't do or does do. Are the devils, are the imps, are the evil spirits, are those that follow after him, or how big they are, how popular they are, how much they got. We ain't going to listen to the devil no more. God said, don't eat of that fruit. We're not going to do it. It's more popular to believe in a triune three-person God. I've got a bunch of people stirred up right now who don't like me talking this, and I've got another crowd in the midst of them says, we've never had the opportunity to hear what you're saying. Tell us more. I'm trying to keep a good spirit because I don't want to be a mean-spirited preacher. I love everybody. I love everybody and every religion. Not everybody seems to love me, though. But when I saw that in the crowd of unbelievers and people who get mad when you try to obey God, when you preach truth, in that crowd of unbelievers and mean-spirited people who are trying to drown out and try to force out with their alternate plan of how you can get saved and how you should believe in God. When I saw that in that crowd, there are a few people amongst them who are sincere, I decided it doesn't matter what they do or what they say or what they think. God's still going to have a people for His name's sake. Somewhere in this city, there's another person who will do what Sister Judy did, or Brother Bill did, or Brother Joe did, or Sister Carolyn did, or Brother John, or Sister Lynn. Somebody, I'm not going to name everybody's name, but name any of you. Somebody in this city, not just one, probably several, are waiting on just that knock on the door, or that assurance. There's many people that have never heard this word, live right up and down our streets. They don't know. They don't know that there is a reality in serving God. They don't know. And if you start trying to tell them with other people around you, you're going to get all their voices drowning your voice out. And they're not going to hear you. But somewhere in the midst of circumstances, when it seems like everything's gone wrong in their life, when they just don't have any way to turn, they don't know who to turn to or what to do, and all the answers are not answers at all, sure, they're willing to say, I accept Christ as my personal Savior. They're willing to confess with their mouth. They're willing to say a sinner's prayer. They're willing to do whatever it takes because they're hurting so much. They're desperate. When you get desperate, you'll do what's suggested if there's any sign of there might be hope to it.
Hallelujah.
But they don't realize there is a real God in the midst of all this.
Amen, 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 amen.
There is a real solution.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they're not going to know unless somebody gets their attention. What we need to do is find that wisdom of God that's able to look weak and be strong. It's able to seem small and be large. It's able to be soft and yet loud. It's able to not move and yet move everything. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. What's gone wrong in your life that God can use? What's happening that's negative right now that God wants to make a positive out of it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We go through those trying moments. I mean, this man standing, you know, sitting on a hill when Granddad Rooks is about to baptize his wife, looking over a stump with a rifle pointed at Grandpa Rooks' head. And he yelled out, when she goes under the water, your head goes off. And there stood my granddad in the water with this man's wife, ready to baptize her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Lord lets you get right down to the edge. Paul Rooks, just like me, I mean, he's a short little tubby man. Loud voice. And he didn't preach all that good, and I don't preach as good as he did. But he loved to win souls. He said to that woman in that lake or in that creek, said, what do you want to do? She looked at him and said, what do you want to do? Because the gun was pointing at his head. And he said, I ain't scared of him. We're going to do this in Jesus' name. And he said, as the gun pointed at his head, upon the commandment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, following the examples of the apostles, I now baptize you, my dear sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And down she went, and up she came, and he lost her. She was kicking and screaming and speaking in tongues. And she went like a fish right down the stream, floating on her back, speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And the man stood up, threw down his gun, went running, said, baptize me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look, I don't know anybody that I've ever heard about anywhere in this world that had that kind of thing happen when they baptized in any other way, leaving off the name of Jesus. I've never heard of that kind of baptism, not using the name of Jesus. I've never heard of anybody having such a thing happen. It seems foolish. But it's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I got to close here, but I keep thinking about the sister in Louisiana that when the evangelist said, we're going to march around this church seven times, and it was dark out there, and it seemed foolish. And I'm the one that had the doubts. I sat on the platform when the evangelist said, we're going to march around the church seven times. Because his dear sister, she was a senior citizen. She had come to that revival with a walker, and she had gotten rid of her walker. She didn't need it anymore. But I was concerned about her walking around those unlevel spots. You know, we just poured concrete not long before that, and we had these sharp edges where it wasn't completely level. And we didn't have it fully lighted. And I thought about, man, we're going to walk around this church seven times, and he's going to take about 500 people around and around this building seven times, including these older people. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, my Lord, what have I gotten myself into? So I was the last one to get in line. I think God gets amusement, you know, sometimes. Because what seems like a tough time for us is just God smiling and walking along to see how you're going to react to it. He's ready to help you when you need Him. Doesn't He say, they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Amen. But we so easily look at the circumstances. Seven times around this dark parking lot at night, large church, I mean, the seating capacity when it's just the seats, sitting in the seats, is 680 people. And we had several times over 1,000 standing shoulder to shoulder in that place. But this particular night, several hundred people started walking around the church. And this dear sister was in that line, walking. And I was still waiting till the line went out the door. The evangelist turned around the door when everybody had gone out, children and all. And the only one left in the building was the pastor. He said, "Are you coming, Pastor?" I said, "Yeah, I guess so." So I got up, started walking, reluctantly. Because I didn't want us walking around that church seven times. We went six times around, nothing bad happened. But on the seventh lap, I heard this scream, "Ah!" I saw the commotion. And then I heard the sound, "Call an ambulance! Call an ambulance! She broke her leg! Call an ambulance! Sister Emerson has broken her leg!" And then I looked. It wasn't just a broken leg. It was a broken leg. Both bones were broken. The jagged edge of where the bone was broken was almost protruding through the skin. The bones were sharp, about to come through the skin. The foot was turned up facing her, similar to the way mine was, and I broke my leg years ago. And there was nothing we could do in our own power. Just as in the book of Acts, when Peter and John came to the crippled man who had never been able to walk and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." And then they said these words, "In the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. There's no other power that can do this other than the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No hocus pocus. No make-believe friend. No false doctor. No false belief. You need to know the truth when you get in these spots. So she was lying there in pain. All of you heard this, but I'm talking to thousands of people who have never heard this in their life. And if you want to check this story out, the pastor at that church today is Brother Carl Shirley. At that time, it was known as the Jesus-Only Apostolic Church, West Monroe, Louisiana. Brother W.T. Hemphill was the founder of the church. He founded it in 1944. It's 1 mile south of the paper mill on Jonesboro Highway in West Monroe, Louisiana. It's now a different name, but that's the church where Brother Carl Shirley pastors, and they have a tremendously large church. But at that time, we were at a tense moment, and she had that broken leg. And it was a sad moment for me because 3 weeks of having church every night, canceling my Christmas program, that I thought would be a sure way to win souls to God, get the whole community to come out and hear my new songs, and having to cancel that to hear preaching every night. People crying, taking on, saying, "Call an ambulance." And I thought, call an ambulance in a victory march? So it comes out the next day in the newspaper, lady breaks leg during victory march at the church. What seemed to be a tremendous revival going on was just about to come to a close, it seemed. God will allow these things to happen. It just seemed hopeless. What are you going to do? Take her leg and put it back together? No, I couldn't do that. But in a moment when I completely lost myself, I don't know how to explain it, but I got out of the body somehow. I went into a faith mode that I rarely have touched, but it's available. I have found it a few times. And this is one of those times where nothing else mattered but Jesus. Nothing else mattered but the Holy Ghost. Nothing else mattered. The circumstances didn't matter. What it looked like didn't matter. What they thought didn't matter. What anybody said didn't matter. The only thing that mattered, even having that revival to continue, didn't matter. What the threats might be from the children didn't matter. The only thing that mattered is God is real. This is a woman with a need of a miracle. The example is in the Word of God. And I did exactly what Peter and John did. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Sister Emerson, rise up and walk. I'm telling you, it's difficult to tell somebody that can't walk to walk at a time like that. It's difficult to tell somebody with a broken leg to rise up and walk. But it's easy for God to walk them. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, when I reached down to touch her leg lightly, because I know what it is to have a broken leg. You won't want anybody touching your leg. I was just going to touch it with my finger and pray. I'd already said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. She hadn't moved yet. And I reached over just to touch her leg. And just as I was about to touch it, it looked like it lit up like a fluorescent light. I'm not making this up. You're an unbeliever. I know you don't believe this, so that's okay. Those bones, I heard them go, and I saw that foot go back in its place, and I saw that leg smooth out. Then I saw her jerk and kick and rise up real fast and start jumping up and down. And then start running to the parking lot. I'm telling you, I didn't do that. God did that. God did that. God did that. Hallelujah. She went into the church, ran back and forth up and down the aisle of the church. Most of the people were already inside because I was the last one in line. She was only about 60 people in front of me when she fell. But 60 of us saw what God did. Hallelujah. And then she ran back and forth, ran up the front steps to the platform, ran across the platform, grabbed the mic, and she said in her southern way, I broke my leg on the parking lot. And I think I broke my hip. But the Lord Jesus put me back together again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That seemed rather foolish to the people when they started hearing the news on the outside. Her children thought it was rather foolish to think that she could have broken her leg. And I just love to see how God operates with these foolish things that seem so foolish. Got a call from Sister Jones the next day, a faithful saint, a lady about 85 years old. Brother Rowlich, have you heard the news? What news, Sister Jones? Sister Emerson has had problems all night. She, ever since she broke her leg last night, has suffered through the night. Her children are going to sue you and the church for not taking her to the hospital last night. And you're in trouble, Brother Rutledge. Hallelujah. I slowly got my clothes on. I slowly walked to the car. I slowly drove across town because I was going to have to take her to the emergency room. Sister Jones told me I better get her to the emergency room fast. I slowly drove up the driveway of Sister Emerson's house. I don't think I've ever walked so slow as I walked that day as I walked to her front door to ring the doorbell. Took my time. And I went up to the door. Ding dong. And she opened the door. Hi, Brother Rutledge. Standing there with both feet on the floor. I said, I thought you suffered all night. I did. I'm an old woman, she said. And I walked around that building 7 times and my muscles were sore. But I'm still healed, she said. So then we went to the emergency room anyhow because the children insisted. Unbelieving children. This is the fun part. This is the fun part as I close. I just watched the foolishness of God astonish the wisdom of man in that emergency room. As she stood there in her southern way. When the nurse said, Miss Emerson, what seems to be the problem? She said, there is no problem. Why are you in the emergency room? Because I broke my leg last night. Well, you don't have a broken leg. I know it. The Lord Jesus healed it. The lady said, just a minute. So she went and got another lady. Here comes this other nurse. So what seems to be the problem? I don't have a problem. Or why are you here? I broke my leg last night. Which leg? She said, this one right here. That leg ain't broke. She said, I know it. But it was last night. Well, how are you able to stand here on two legs with no broken leg? You broke your leg last night. She said, Jesus healed it. She said, just a minute. So she left. And here came several, including a doctor. And the doctor said, so what seems to be the problem? She said, there is no problem. Well, why are you here? I broke my leg last night. My kids are going to sue my preacher if you don't look at it. You don't have a broken leg. I know it. But I want you to x-ray it, doctor. Why do you want it x-rayed if it's not broken? Because my kids want to look at the x-ray. Well, it's not broken. She said, I know that. That just went on and on. But he finally submitted to give her the x-ray. They went in that little room, x-rayed it, and he came out. And he was holding it up, and I was standing there as I looked at his face, as he said, with calm assurance that he knew what he was talking about. Well, Miss Emerson, he said, you have suffered a broken leg at some point in your life, probably when you were a child. He said, the evidence is there that it was severely broken. And he said, that kind of a break would have taken a long time to recover. You certainly didn't do it last night. He said, but somewhere in your childhood, I can see where you did have a broken leg. But that actually is the strongest part of your leg now. And she smiled real big. She said, doctor, I never broke a bone in my life till last night. And when God puts something together, he puts it together good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that evening at 6 o'clock, it was all over town. It was the news, and the 6 o'clock news, not cable television, but the regular television people called, wanting her to be on TV, talking about that leg she broke last night. And they put, I was standing there in the studio with her when she was asked to take her shoe off and stick her foot out and wiggle her toes in front of the camera. And she looked up at the camera and said, the Lord Jesus put it back together. She had dark blue stockings on, and she was wiggling them toes. Everybody said, the Lord Jesus put it back together again last night. We went down to church after that newscast, and there were people come from all directions just to come and see that woman that had that miracle. I'm telling you, there are people, if they can find out that a real God is really doing a great work and is really performing miracles and causing somebody to be able to report, I know it happened to me, I know it. They'll come from out of the bushes, they'll come from all directions just to get into the place where it's really happening. It's not just some make-believe character that you're talking to when you pray. It's not just something that everybody else is doing. When this town finds out that this is a place where you can come and get your life straightened out and you can be pure in your heart and have peace of mind and get your body healed and have the Holy Ghost, they're going to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise God, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. They're going to come. And while we're waiting on them, the internet's already coming. They're coming from all over the world to our internet sites saying, tell us more. Tell us more. We're getting reports of people getting the Holy Ghost all over the world. We're getting reports of preachers being baptized and baptizing their congregations. We're getting reports of Baptist people being converted to the name of Jesus in water baptism and denouncing that God that was false that they've been preaching about. Thank you, Jesus. When you find the real thing, you don't need the fake stuff anymore. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You don't need the false ways anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I remember that next day when I got the call from the doctor's wife that had x-rayed Sister Emerson's leg. She said, is this the pastor that has that lady in the church that broke her leg. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, my husband's a doctor that treated her. And she said, my husband's not a believer, but I am. Tell me more about it. So I told her the details. And she started speaking in tongues on the phone. Doctor's wife. And I heard her say, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And when she finally settled down, she said, this is the best thing that's ever happened to my husband. She said, he walked the floor all night because he just can't believe that woman didn't break it when she's a kid. And I said, I'll be praying that God will give your husband the Holy Ghost. She said, please do. Let's praise God again, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, let's come and rejoice and be exceeding glad. Hallelujah. For our God reigns. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let him bless you right now. Hallelujah. He's here right now. Reach out. Hallelujah. Standing with us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for your wonder-working power. We thank you for the great power of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your name, Lord. Your name. That's why it's powerful. Your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Satisfy your soul. Amen. His name is Jesus, and that name is above all names. Our God reigns.